Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
From desire, mind and senses purified, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Enjoyed it.
And he's got no money, but he's got his strong beliefs. It's Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to talk about football, that favourite subject of us all.
Enjoyed the intro, but particularly enjoyed the frog in your throat at the start, which really threw me off the scent. I don't know where you were going to go with it.
It made me think that he wasn't freed from desire. Desire was very much making him salivate.
Choking him, if anything.
Desire had
finished
the moment before I said I was freed from it.
Desire finishes at the weekend. You're back into the proper stuff now.
Towel yourself down, Marcus, and let's get started.
Before we talk about football, I'd like to congratulate our friend and brother Luke Moore for completing the South Run, the Great South Run.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
What are you running from, Luke?
The better.
He was running down the Pompey Highway.
I was.
It is in Portsmouth, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think you should all do it with me next year.
Do you run past the? Is it Gunwharf? Where's Tiger Tiger?
You do run past that. You don't get into it though. You do run past. I'll tell you what though, you could do a little shortcut, but
pick up a Bacardi Breezer. Yeah. And off you go.
That's the thing about doing the Great South Run. There's a Bacardi Breezer at every mile marker. And then when you get over the finish line after 10 miles, you're completely exhausted.
Blue Wicked?
Yeah. They give you a yard of smell of ice. Yeah. You have to down it.
And then a Portsmouth Bellman facial tattoo.
Exactly. And then do you get the medal.
Does he ring when it's the last mile?
Yeah.
Rings the bell.
He does. Yeah, the last lap.
Does he have plastic in his hair? Like kind of foil in his hair.
I think it's part of his hat.
Oh right, okay, yeah. Okay.
But he does. He has braids tied into it though, doesn't he?
Yeah. Should we talk about the Premier League?
No, we want to talk about your town shame.
Yeah, you and the bellman, the ambassadors.
We've only got about an hour.
We want to talk about your dad.
There's nothing to do with my dad. Thank you very much.
Spiritual dad.
Yeah.
While Luke was doing that, Pete was in Lisbon.
He's a father. He's a father to everyone in Portsmouth, really.
Is he?
Yeah, Johnny Westwood. Yeah.
Indeed. Let's go on to the Premier League. Oi. Spurs. They battered Liverpool. They put a big marker down, Jim. And that is the kind of result that Spurs probably thought, hang on a minute, people think they can turn up to Wembley, our rented accommodation, and tell us what to do. We'll have some of that, Kloppo.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I think even Katie Hopkins probably feels for Dejan Lovren today. I mean, my God.
Doubtful.
I've never seen such a haphazard display from a Premier League.
It was
footballer. Who knows his onions?
You're a Newcastle United fan.
I know, right?
But you better get used to it. They'll be taking him on loan in January. Yeah.
They're probably purged from your memories immediately, aren't they? Imagine you've got a recycle bin that filters that stuff out. But like the second goal, the one where he just let the ball go over his head and sort of dived for it, like it was like, you know that video of Japanese people playing football with binoculars on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've just got no sense of space at all. Yeah. It's absolutely phenomenal. I know he wasn't the only player at fault, but getting hooked after 33 minutes, my God.
I mean, was that an injury or was that... Because he looked really off the
story,
pace.
But
he would misjudge headers like you wouldn't believe.
Do you want my hot take on why he did that? Because he had such a poor start. He was trying to be assertive. And he was trying to get his confidence back. And I think he probably has got a niggle, actually. I think he probably
had a back problem, isn't it?
And they were defending such low confidence in the entire defence, really. I think Klopp said, Henderson said, didn't he? Yeah. Any one of us could have come off, but it was him. There's a great example of the confidence being low because I think it might either the first goal or certainly an early chance when Gomez was playing them all on side.
Yeah, that's the first one.
And Matip and Lovren both looked over at the linesman, put their arm. It's like, don't worry about that. You know, I talk about this a lot, and it's really important, I think. You don't need to do that. If you're offside, the assistant referee will give it offside.
Yeah.
If he doesn't think it's offside, he's not going to give it. He's not going to go, I didn't think that was offside. Because you put your arm in the air, I am going to give
it. It's not a dance routine in the full Monty.
No, it's not like a cricket wicket. You have to appeal it either.
Yeah, right.
It just happens.
Hawkeye. So, I'd like to bring in Hawkeye for this one, please.
Well, quite.
Immediately.
Well, some people would like football to go down that road, but we haven't got time for that now. But so I think they were defending very, very low on confidence. And Lovren just thought, you know what, I'm going to assert myself here. What I need to do is I need to go and win that ball and show Kane that I'm here. Yet he's so out of form that he's completely misjudged it. It was embarrassing. Yeah, it was sad to see, really.
It was. No sooner as they registered back-to-back clean sheets, they then go and concede four like that. But Klopp's his post-match press conference comments were quite barbed, really, or quite brutal. I mean, he said it was really bad, bad, bad defending. He said he could have done better in his trainers and all this kind of stuff. Mm. This is a different change of tack for Klopp, who's usually fairly sort of jovial.
Well, you can sort of, the buckle has gone away from the swash, or the swash has gone away from the buckle, but they just can't seem to defend. And I've never seen a Liverpool team so dependent on one player, and that player is Salah. Like, they just go, can you do something, please? Can you just make something out of nothing? Because we just we're just producing nothing in the final third.
It's like they rely on. They won 7-0 the midweek.
Good true. Good, yeah. True. Good point.
But no, you're right though. They do seem to rely on, because although people will talk about Pete's half right there, because a lot of people will talk about Liverpool being great going forward. Well, actually, I think they're right up there in terms of. Sorry, they're right down there in terms of chances converted. Right. They create a lot of chances, but in comparison, they don't score a huge amount of goals. And I think you've hit on something there, because they either seem to rely independently on Coutinho to do something, or Firmino to do something, or Salah to do something, or Mane to do something. And you wonder whether there's a real cohesion between them. And Spurs could have. I mean, they were fantastic. They could have scored any amount of goals. And it also throws into sharp focus the way Man United approached the game against Liverpool, because you thought, well. They're sort of there for the taking, really.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think, as you say about Klopp coming out and being a little more critical of his players after the game, Marcus, I just think this has happened so many times. He's probably thinking, why don't I got nothing else left? You know, I have to give them a rocket because they're doing it over and over.
Yeah. I mean, if Matt was kind of just dropping passes left, right, and centre, you're like, well, what can you do? I mean, Chan seemed to have a pretty poor game as well. I mean,
Chan certainly did play. He was booked. He didn't play that well. The most telling quote from Klopp for me was, I don't know if you guys heard it, but he said, "Oh, I'm not. We don't coach the kind of defending where you defend the throwing."
Insane. I think
there's no reason to not do that.
Is it at a point where he's thinking they're at a top level, so the players should know the basics like that, and for that reason they've probably forgotten them because they're concentrating on other things.
I'll tell you what, if that's the case, then you can understand that a really individual error, like a Lovren thing. Fine, that's, you can't necessarily legislate for that, but what you can do as a coach is you can instill confidence in your team. And I'll tell you who played bloody well under Pochettino at Southampton, Dejan Lovren. He played well enough for Liverpool to sign him, so he's obviously a good defender at some point. He was at some point, yet now it seems that he can't buy any confidence. We got a really funny tweet from someone saying that they noticed that Dejan Lovren, this is it, it's from Martin Salisbury. He says, Dejan Lovren channeled a 14-year-old who's just been unceremoniously dumped by deleting any reference to Liverpool from his Instagram bio after the game yesterday.
Really? God, I really feel for him. I do. It's because it's horrible to just be hung out to dry. And I mean, imagine how awful you would feel about getting hooked after 33 minutes just in any game, let alone with 80,000 people in the stadium and it being on telly.
It's happened to me. Don't worry about it.
It was 20 minutes each way, five aside.
It happened to me once when I was playing out in New Zealand and the manager decided to.
In New Zealand as well.
Try with me up. I know, it's poor standard. Try with me up front, and after about 20 minutes, you're like, that's not working. Come on. Yeah. And it sounds ridiculous. Marcus, it's probably never happened to you because you're a good player. But and it's probably never happened to you, Pete, because you don't ever start games.
No. But,
I'm just joking.
That's funny.
Do you know what really hit me hard? It was the fact that, I know it sounds ridiculous, but
Subs?
That I couldn't come back on again. That's me now. That's over.
Is it like when you go paintballing and you get shot and you're like, wow, I've only been doing 2 minutes.
It's cost me a fortune.
Wipe that off. It's only hit my wrist.
Now you're dead. Yeah. Michael Ellis sent us a little email what Maradona had to say about Salah, the aforementioned Salah. Salah is a brilliant player who can move right and left, and he can score goals with his leg and his head.
Mm-hmm. His leg?
Yeah. Leg?
Yeah. Innovative. When he stopped finishing managing in the United Arab Emirates, surely Maradona's. He's a pundit, isn't he? He'll be doing Monday Night Football with Gary Neville with that kind of analysis.
What is a foot if not the end of a leg?
And also, normal mortals don't see it like that.
Mama Baram Diouf is listening to this at the moment, going, I always scored my leg.
That's true. he did.
But what about, Marcus, a note, at least a few words for Spurs, who, in front of a massive crowd, were absolutely fantastic.
A record Premier League attendance of over 80,000.
Can we count this? It's not their.
Was it? Because it's not their home ground.
Yeah, I'm not having it.
Was it a Premier League game? Was it a Premier League game?
It's a question for you, Pete. There's two questions, aren't there? You guys have hit one. Was it a Premier League game?
Yes. Yes.
Were those people actually there? If the answer to that is also yes, then yes, it counts.
That's true.
I refuse to say. I don't think Premier League ground should be allowed escalators. So there, I'm just putting that out.
Why?
There.
Why?
What, in general?
Because
that's not an answer.
Yeah, it's really too fancy.
Is. Pete, after my run yesterday, I needed an escalator today. Let me tell you that.
Well, the lifts are for you.
I needed one in my house. Yeah.
But it was a brilliant performance for Spurs, and to use one of your favourite expressions, Luke, they were cock-a-hoop.
They were,
weren't they? Yes.
And you know, Liverpool. Let's get this right. Spurs were fantastic, and I think they took a lot of confidence from the game midweek, and we expected that.
I think Spurs needed a result like that at Wembley because Like I said, you know, a number of minutes ago, okay, they beat, was it Bournemouth there, 1-0 and so on, and people, it's that psychological thing. With that kind of result, people think, oh, hang on, they've clicked. Well, yeah. They can play at Wembley now. And I know it's a slightly silly point, can Spurs play at Wembley? Of course they can.
Yeah.
But they have struggled a little bit this season by their own lofty standards.
That's as much for the fans as well. Yeah. They'll be so pumped going into the next game off the memory of that. Yeah. And that just builds the atmosphere, which we all know from having been there, it's quite hard at Wembley. Sometimes.
Yeah,
and
yeah, definitely.
And also, I think Mignolet doing what he did in the first 5 minutes, not many people were blaming Mignolet, certainly at the end of the match, because it was just a nightmare, did performance at the back anyway. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not a great start, is it? Like, if you keep, you know, legs it out and just... Oh,
well, that's the problem they've got, isn't it? That's the problem they've got. But Spurs, the point I wanted to make about them was that this game, in a way, I know Liverpool are a good team, but we've talked a lot this season, and possibly the end of last season as well, again, about do Spurs, even when they do struggle, is it because teams make it hard for them? Mm-hmm. Well, in a way, then, you could argue this game against Liverpool was tailor-made for them, because Liverpool won't make it hard for them. Mm-hmm. They'll come at them and leave a lot of gaps, and Spurs can exploit that, which they did. Mm-hmm. And also, Liverpool are a big enough name, as you guys just alluded to give them confidence should they win, because they think, well, we've beaten Liverpool now. Mm-hmm. Liverpool can score goals. I mean, Salah's fantastic. You know, they've got players in there who can do stuff. So it's huge for them for a number of reasons. And they're now joint on points with Manchester United.
They are.
And very much in the race.
Well, so they're suddenly right back in it when people thought, is it sort of two-horse race with the Manchester sides? But also with Spurs, you say about, you know, is it a case of just make it hard for Spurs to win the game? Well, I mean, we will talk about Huddersfield in a short while, but look at the way Huddersfield tried to play against them. Mm. They're beaten 4-0. Mm. Yeah. You know, they did the same approach, and Tom Ince's comments were quite interesting about Manchester United. Spurs look like they've really clicked and they're away now.
Yeah.
You know, they've always been picking up points throughout the season, but, you know, going away to the Bernabeu, getting a point there, winning at home against Dortmund, that builds confidence so
absolutely
much.
And it's the versatility from Pochettino we're seeing again. Like playing Serge Aurier at left back, because he knows that Salah cuts in quite often.
That's a lovely one.
That's a very smart move. Yeah.
Until like the Monday morning papers just say, oh, well, Pochettino's going to go to Real Madrid. It's like, can I not have a couple of days?
Yeah.
Just give him a couple of days.
Well, also, Spurs go to Old Trafford next week.
They do.
Yeah,
it's a huge one.
There was a link from in one of the tabloids about Harry Kane going to Madrid. Same sort of thing. But
they're all off to Madrid, Jim.
The headline was Harry Spain, and I did enjoy that.
Harry Spain, which basically is why the article was written.
Yeah,
someone's walked into the office. I've got one, guys. Yeah. Sit down, Harry Spain. Write it up.
Have you fact checked it? Shut up.
Has he got a Barcelona? Like Catalan?
Yeah. Have you fact checked it? Yes. Spain rhymes with Kane. Uh-huh. It's definite. It definitely does. Say it to yourself.
Is Dele Alli, is he off to the United Arab Emirates to Ali Allen or something? Like, no, not yet. Save that one for 10 years' time.
You've gone too far there.
Yeah. No, I'm doing the whole thing.
Speaking of Ali though, Marcus, here's one for you, because we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about England having a deeper line midfield player.
Ooh.
For England,
yes.
Ali played deeper against Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
You're the England expert. You're our England correspondent. Yeah. What's your latest on it?
Well, did you see Gareth Southgate on the weekend?
Did.
He was at St James's Park.
Didn't see much there, did he?
I'm just saying that if you pull Ali too far back, he might step on John's toes. And you know how angry John's gets.
We'll talk about that later for sure. But before we move on from this game, a couple more points I wanted to make really, really quickly. One is, we said on this show a month or so ago that his inability to set up a team to defend will do for Klopp long term. I still think that. And I absolutely... Son was fantastic as well, by the way. Oh. And the final one is, I absolutely loved Diego Maradona being sat next to Daniel Levy in the stand.
Diego Maradona's season starts next week.
Yeah.
Like, as the manager. Yeah,
but
next week.
Scouting potential new recruits.
He's looking increasingly like a Star Wars character, isn't he?
He is! He absolutely is.
So do you reckon Daniel Levy... He went along with Daniel Levy, and then at the end of the game, because they were sat next to each other, he said, so Daniel, can we have Harry Kane on loan or not?
there was a picture of him touching Loris's arm, and it was the same arm that had the very strong wrist attached to it that saved from Coutinho.
So you're saying he's passed on the hand of God?
Wrist
of God.
Oh, Maradona. Being paraded around with a Spurs shirt, Ted Maradona on the back. Glory.
Because he played in a testimonial once.
Yeah. And the commentator for the highlights had the date, and it primed. Yeah. Like so-and-so 1986.
He knew it was coming. It was before that.
In a way, the highlight of Maradona's career.
Indeed. Klopp is struggling. And if we look across Liverpool, then Ronald Koeman is struggling as well. He won't be in a job much longer if Everton don't improve. But Big Veng certainly enjoyed his 68th birthday at Goodison Park, didn't he? Yeah. Lovely old time. Eventually,
It was one of those sort of kind of typical match patterns where Arsenal had the better of the play, and they flew out the block, started very well. It was very enjoyable from the off, but then The first goal, I thought Rooney scoring against us was done. I thought that was a thing of the past, but no. Because Xhaka was tackled and was looking for the foul and had that, just basically spent too long complaining about it, which gave Rooney enough time to set himself and score. And it's just like, oh God, not this again. Luckily, Everton will give you loads of space. Yeah, that's true. None of them know where they're meant to be.
Do you think with Arsenal, when they were knocking it around there and Cech had one, didn't he?
We had two.
Yeah, he had a few. Do you think they've been watching Man City and going, yeah,
I remember how to do this.
Maybe, yeah.
That's how you do it. At times they were just irresistible, weren't they? And they scored a beauty in midweek as well. Fantastic work.
30 shots.
So lovely to watch.
Same old stuff for Everton, as far as that they were 3-1 down in the final minute and conceded five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened at Old Trafford, didn't it?
Who are the younger players going to learn off? I mean, that back line is so disorganised.
Not you, Dawson.
Like, not me.
No.
But look at someone like Keane. Like, who's he going to learn off? Because everyone's just absolute nonsense.
It's meant to be Jagielka and Williams.
Yeah. God, like, Williams has had a week.
Yeah, he really has done, hasn't he? Only Crystal Palace have a worse goal difference than Everton in the league, and they're now in the bottom three. And it really is quite worrying. You know, people said at the start of the season with Everton, it's quite an interesting thing what's going on there. They've spent a lot of money. And then people started thinking, oh, hang on, there's a lot of number 10s, and that could go wrong. And it really is going wrong.
But they are saying they're completely unbalanced. They're so big in midfield, and they haven't strengthened their back line, and they just don't have any strikers. And that was the problem at the start of the season, everyone was saying. And
Keane coming in was to strengthen the back line.
Yeah.
I think all that stuff about the attacking midfield players and the strikers and stuff, I agree with you guys, but I think it's quite an easy problem to solve. And the problem stems from that they've signed Wayne Rooney. So if Wayne Rooney, I don't know the relationship between Koeman and Rooney, but I presume Wayne Rooney wants to play, and that's why he went there, right? Well, if Wayne Rooney would sit on the bench, the problem wouldn't be as bad, because Sigurdsson would play in the hole where he has to play. That's his position. He has to have the front.
Do you not think signing Sigurdsson was a silly move they got Rooney?
Either or.
Because Rooney's scoring.
Okay, well, you could put it that way. My point is then one of them has to play and one of them has to not play.
Well, of course, yeah.
Because if Rooney plays further up front, he just drops deep. Mm-hmm. And if Sigurdsson can't play up front, so they need to drop one of them. They've got two in one spot.
Well, we've said this, and Davy Klaassen as well, who's been sitting on the bench as one of their new recruits.
There's Barkley to come back as well. Could they play all four of them in that hole?
And a flat
stuff that hole.
You say that as a joke, but like, there's four. If you take those four players, well, the reason that Klaassen sit on the bench, is it because he's the worst of them? I don't know, but I'll tell you what it is. It's probably the path of least resistance for Koeman, so it's easier for him to drop him, and Barkley's obviously injured, so it's easy. It's an easier conversation for Koeman to have with Klaassen than it is with Rooney. I know Rooney's, to be fair, has done okay.
Well, Rooney's scoring, so you'd be reluctant to take him out the side. Sigurdsson was signed
else
for...
else is, that's why.
Yeah, well, yeah, Sigurdsson... excuse me, went for an enormous fee. So to stick a £45 million or whatever he was on the bench. So you're right, David Klaassen is probably the one who's been sacrificed there. It may well be down to performances. I haven't really watched him that closely. But going back to the game, the sending off of Idrissa Gueye was a turning point, because Everton did look... I know Keane said that the players have let Koeman down, and of course the players have got to take their responsibility or share of the responsibility. But I didn't think Everton were that bad on the day. There were spells
it's the disorganisation, though, I think. If you can't set up a team that look like they can defend against like one footballer, I just don't understand what the situation is on the training.
You're right with the organisation, because like I say, they've clearly got some talent in that side. And at times there was a few moments, but it was within a sort of a disorganised system.
You say that, Mark. You say they you know, didn't play that badly, and I'm not saying they were terrible, but look at what a good game Jordan Pickford had to have, despite still conceding five goals. Arsenal had 30 shots. I mean, obviously the man going off makes a big difference to that, but they just gave Arsenal too much space. I mean, Mesut Ozil had the best game he's had all season, and it's because they allowed him space. You know, you can't be doing that at home,
absolutely.
Surely.
I know I'm someone who jumps on the back of Ozil, maybe bit too much, but I thought that with Ozil, I thought they're making it quite easy for him. First of all, I thought, why has he finally now started playing in the middle of October? I couldn't really work out why that was.
Well, Wenger said it's now he's fully fit, but I don't know whether he's...
That's possible. It's possible, but it might just be as Jim touched on that they made it so easy for him. And Idrissa Gueye was sent off, right? He's playing defensive midfield position essentially on his own. I mean, who was with him? Vlasic, who's very inexperienced and likes to get forward, and Sigurdsson, who's not really a defensive midfield player. Right. And so he's playing on his own. If you're playing on your own against a team like Arsenal, who Jim has just said had 30 shots and never had about 70% possession, getting sent off as a defensive midfield player from two yellow cards can happen, because
stretched.
That second yellow card was a genuine attempt to play the ball. I'm not saying it wasn't a yellow card, but he tried to play the ball and he was just late. And he's already on a yellow, so he goes. And then, even then after that, Koeman didn't change it around very quickly.
No, he was very slow.
Yeah, and so they didn't shore anything up and go, do you know what, I can't remember what the score was at that point, but we'll just take it as it is.
Well, it was Arsenal, 2-1 when he got sent off.
Right, so just get what you've got to do for me then, if you're a struggling team, which they are, change it around, make it tough, just have two banks of four. Rooney can go in there. He's played centre midfield before. Mm-hmm. Put four and four in there. Have someone up front on their own and just make it hard and pray you can nick something from a set piece
exactly.
and get a draw.
You're trying to nick something.
They were nowhere near doing that. Yeah. Nowhere near. And I think it's because the players don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, it was what
and they've got no confidence.
Yeah, when they're backed into the wall, they don't know where the wall is.
No, right, yeah.
It was the side who went there, not Leon, the other... I forget
Atalanta.
The other... No, because they played away.
Oh, Hadjik.
Yeah. Was it Hadjik who got the draw?
Yeah, Hadjik. Was that when Sigurdsson scored that insane goal?
No. That was away from home,
No, not that one. When they played at home, anyway, they went down to 10 men, whoever it was, forgive my forgetfulness there, ladies and gentlemen. And they were down to 10 men, the opposition, but they managed to get something out of the game because they made it difficult and they nicked something. Was it on a set piece or something like that? You know, learn from...
Oh, was it not Limassol?
Yeah, I think that's
right. It was Limassol, yeah, it was. Hadjik Split was in the playoff, yeah.
But either way, like, when Arsenal are one of those teams that do know how to give and go, pass, just constantly showing for each other, a really undisciplined, kind of disorganised team, They're not gonna want to kind of chase the ball because they'll be pulled out of position, whatever crappy position they've got found themselves on the pitch anyway, and they're just going to lose more goals. Well, it's so leaky. So
we're getting
weird.
To the point now, Pete, where the stage of the season where managers start getting sacked. Everton don't sack managers very quickly. Mm. We're getting to the start of the season now. Sorry, to the stage of the season now. Everton played Chelsea away in the League Cup, and Koeman's got the same position he had when they played. I think was it Sunderland in the last round. Mm-hmm. Got to play a strong team because they can't afford to lose another game. After that, they go to Leicester, and Leicester were good at the weekend, and they've got a good coach, I think, now. And that could be very, very tough for them. They'll concede goals in that game.
I just get the feeling that Koeman's a personality manager rather than a tactical, master. And I think that's been proved out with how disorganised the team's been. And I will say the word disorganisation again. But will sacking him improve anything? Well, you've still got a lot of round pegs, square holes, and you've still got no strikers. It's like, is it going
to
improve?
We've got to that stage of the season with regards to managers that one national newspaper is trying to suggest that David Moyes is on for a sensational return to Goodison Park.
Well, the thing is, if they sack the manager, the assistant is his brother. So that's going to be a bit of a situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I should be loyal to the family, but yeah, this is a great opportunity for me. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Unsworth sort of stepping up and taking the reins for a bit. Would that be a solution? Because he's worked with a lot of the younger players. It's like, well, they've signed a lot of players, haven't they?
Duncan Ferguson, player manager. This is how you bloody defend a set piece.
Well, at least put him up front.
Yeah, he's a proper striker.
A couple of headers.
He's not
going
to stand on the 10's toes, is he? Well, he might literally.
Just stand on their neck.
Duncan Ferguson is 45 and looks in all right nick. It's not the worst idea ever.
Look, Andy Carroll could still play at 45, I reckon. Because he'll have played 100 games in total.
He would have improved by that.
No, but defenders don't know how to defend against tall players in 2017. So no. Duncan Ferguson might probably do something.
There we are.
That's all I'm saying.
In 2027, they might not either. but yeah, we mentioned Everton in the Europa League. Of course, they played Lyon at Goodison Park. Didn't get a very good result there. The Everton fan who punched a Lyon player while holding his three-year-old son, some of you would have seen this. With the big melee that happened when Ashley Williams got involved, and it was all a bit silly, and there was a bit of a brawl, and some of the fans came down and stuff.
I never knew something could be so funny and so depressing at the same time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It is one of those ones. Well, the Everton fan who did punch a Lyon player, and that did happen, sadly. He said he was ashamed of what he did. And then he went on to say that he was angry with the club security because they let him
do it.
Yeah, and the others get so close.
Look what you made me do.
He was also angry with the players themselves because, in his words, they're supposed to be an example. Now, this is a man. This is a man who punched a fellow human being while holding his three-year-old son, and he's accusing other people of setting a good example.
Probably blames his son for not being able to follow up with the left.
Yeah.
I would have followed up with the left.
You
better
set a good example. Yeah. They should be giving them my wages. The amount of respect I got for them.
Oh,
what?
Dearie me.
Yeah, he was not the sharpest tool in the shed. And also, as I said earlier, very, very depressing to see.
Yeah.
Does his son get banned? Because he's been banned.
His son didn't actually throw a punch, did he? So hopefully they'll see sense.
Yeah, but he was a counterweight to the pivot, I would say.
Scandal as a three-year-old banned from football.
Oh, dearie dear. Should we go to Huddersfield Town, everybody? Yeah. They became the first side to defeat Mourinho's Man United this season. All the chat, of course, was about Huddersfield showing more passion and commitment to the cause, which seemed to be the case. Manchester United were desperately poor.
They were bad, weren't they? I think David Wagner's getting a bit revenge for old Kloppo from there.
Well, apparently, one of the reports said that Wagner celebrated by having a drink of Pepsi at home and messaging Klopp. That's how you break them down.
Is that sponsored? Is that a bit of insidious sponsorship?
It was very explicit in that.
Yeah,
I like the fact that he's just having a sip of a soft drink.
Yeah,
and a man after my own heart. No need for the hard stuff.
No,
you're a Fanta man anyway.
That's true.
Yeah,
generally speaking.
So if you are listening, Coca-Cola Enterprises.
Yeah, we have got an office with no fridge.
Coca-Cola own it all. Don't worry about it.
Mourinho's quote.
They always win.
Mourinho's quote was telling where he just said the best team won, and I thought, hang on, there's got to be more to this.
Yeah, I thought that.
I was expecting about 5 or 6 minutes on this.
Well, when Ander Herrera's comments were brought up, that's when it all came out, wasn't it? Because Herrera said that he felt that Huddersfield basically wanted it more and were just you know more energetic.
That is their brand, though, isn't it? Kicking the hell out of everyone. Well, so I mean. Expect it, guys. Expect it. It's going to happen.
Well, quite, absolutely. But
they were organised. You see, with a bit of organisation, that's what you can do.
Yeah. Well, Herrera said that in what's known as the flash interview straight after the game, and Mourinho hadn't heard that until it was put to him in the press conference, and he was like, he said that, oh my God. He questioned why any of the players would go onto the pitch with that attitude. And, I mean, you have to agree with him there. It was just a bad day at the office.
Where do you think that's come from, though? Why has that happened?
Well, absolutely. That's what I question myself. It almost feels like this is more suited to what happens in the third season of Mourinho, the TV show.
I was out of the police station inside half an hour with my solicitor, but I'm ashamed of what I've done. I already know. I'm not a fucking dickhead.
We're back to the Everton band.
Yeah, why not?
I was getting bored of that Mourinho stuff.
I knew I'd put myself and my son in a dangerous position. It was not intentional, but I'd been too concentrated on screaming abuse at the players for being shit.
Is this better or worse than the Newcastle fan punching the police horse?
Pete,
can we have a marks out idiot?
They're supposed to be setting an example. They're professional athletes.
Do you think John Terry's still got that Dad of the Year award? Because I know
maybe. More on John later, of course. But
Cantona ran off the pitch and gave a fan a kung fu kick in the chest. Yeah, I'm the worst thing in football. Are they deluded?
Who's interviewing this man? Yeah. Fantastic.
It doesn't look the best on video. That was his final quote.
Yeah. Because he claims he was sort of caught in a surge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Basically, my fist just sort of got caught up in the current.
Sorry about that, Huddersfield fans.
That's all right. Yeah. I thought, maybe I'll just give one quote on that and we'll move on. But no. Ramble will prevail, ladies and gentlemen. And so it should, so I apologise there. But yeah, if Huddersfield play that sort of harassing style and punishing mistakes and defending well...
They played a lot like that guy.
But they but they set a good example.
Disruptors.
Very much so.
Or they showed that organisation is necessary if you're going to show a good example. But they could go to Anfield and get something with the way Klopp's team played on the weekend and the way Huddersfield did.
Well, you say that about the Klopp thing, and Jim did finish the Liverpool thing by saying, no, they're not in a great way at the moment. And I thought to myself when he said that, I don't remember the last time they lost in the Premier League. I can't remember the last time they lost, but
certainly lost to Man City, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was the Man City game, which is quite a while ago now. But then I looked at the league table and they're in ninth, which is nowhere near good enough for them. You know, so you're right. I mean, clearly they've got big problems. So Huddersfield, I mean, they'll be confident after this game. They worked really, really hard. I know it's all the cliche stuff, but they did. And I think David Wagner knows when he plays a team like Man United. Look, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to do everything brilliantly.
Yeah.
Play at the very peak of our powers and try really, really hard and hope United have an off day. Mm. Well, guess what? They had an off day.
And all the players are buying into it. Yeah. You know, Aaron Moy looks like a real leader and a very pivotal player and Ince providing a bit of pace and flair
definitely
in there.
As well. And also, I mean, Lukaku got a brilliant assist for Rashford's goal, but he was isolated for a lot of the game. I wonder if Wagner's looked at the Liverpool game and gone, okay, you know what, this is how you play against Lukaku and sort of imprinted that on his own team as well.
And the Aaron Moy point is an interesting one as well because you think, well, he was at Man City. Mm-hmm. He got on loan to Huddersfield. He's never going to get a game at Man City in that midfield. Yeah, he's shown he can play in the Premier League.
Of course.
So it's sad that they're stockpiling players, if that's the case, because there's probably quite a few more players who could play at the Premier League who never get a game.
Or is this a plan? Like, there's an agent of City in every team United play.
Well, it's a double agent. Yeah, that's nice.
Maybe, that's what it is. Oh, dear. But yeah, Manchester United 5 points behind Manchester City now. Next at home for them is Spurs, and then Chelsea away.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say as well, that 5 points looks like getting, you know, greater rather than smaller, doesn't it, at the moment?
But then Manchester City away at Tony Pulis's West Brom.
Who are in terrible nick, though.
Yeah, but yeah. Pulis and likes to spoil a party, and then they're at home.
A party going on there.
Then they're at home to the mighty Arsenal.
Oh, God. I said that on your behalf, Jim.
Yeah, we're going to talk about correspondence and all Watford. Oh.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To this.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for correspondence with Peter Don.
Hello, Pete Don. I'm Pete Don with some emails.
Is that a malfunction?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you need a new iOS?
I want to say a big hello to Dalton. Hello, Dalton. Good day, Ramblers. Hope all is well. Upon hearing your Hodgson chat on last Monday's show, Roy Hodgson, Roy the Boy, I had to get in touch to tell you about my encounter with the great man last weekend. As the deluded Geordie I am, I endured the 14-hour round trip from my home to go and watch Newcastle away at Southampton last Sunday. After a thrilling game, me and my friend were walking around the site of St Mary's to prepare for the long drive back when we saw a lovely steel grey new Audi driving around 5 miles per hour leaving the stadia. The oddest thing was the boot of the car was wide open.
Oh.
Myself and a few onlookers shouted to the car and the driver, who presumed we were either, was either A, drunk or B, senile, to inform them of the mistake before the man next to me closed the boot of the slowly moving car. The confused driver then pulled up, opened the door and outstepped ex-England manager Roy Hodgson. Looking exceptionally startled and confused, he uttered, "What's going on?" We replied, telling him his boot was wide open, to which he replied, "Oh, was it? I was wondering why people were beeping at me. Thanks," and crawled back in his presumably very expensive car. Apologies for the long message, but this encounter was not only entertaining, but provided a wonderful insight into why we lost to Iceland.
Did you have Virgil van Dijk tied up in the boot?
I bet the boot had like training cones.
Hola, Ramblers. Tom Hendy is here. Did anyone see the ball boy/steward at the Arsenal corner in the 27th minute at the match over the weekend? More importantly, does anyone recall the circle game? Or at least that's what it's called in Australia. For anyone who doesn't remember, it's a simple game. You get to make a circle with a thumb and a index finger, putting it below your waistline. If you manage to get anyone to look into the circle, yeah. I think it's without putting your finger in it.
Yep.
To stop them doing what they're going to do next, you've got to put your finger in it. You're allowed to hit that person if they look into the hole, so to speak. Just as Sanchez begins his approach to the corner, aforementioned ball boy/steward makes the circle and the game continues seemingly without notice. Frankly, I am surprised that Sanchez didn't go to ground merely at the sight of it. But if you could entertain this thought for the moment, had Sanchez seen it and the matchday official complied by the rules of the game, punching Sanchez in the face, what is an appropriate punishment for the official? Does it warrant a red card? Induction to the Everton Hall of Fame? And would the punch be the final straw in getting the Sanchez-shaped hole idiot to bugger off to any league that can tolerate him? Love the shows. Always the highlight of my week. So, rude from Tom Hendy.
What's the name of that? Tom Hendy?
Tom Hendy, yeah.
Never email again.
Why? You're always slagging off the listeners who take their time out to email the show. Showatthefootballramble.com.
Do email again. I might
yeah, do email
that was
again.
Good. I enjoyed that, and I remember that game.
There are so many.
You got a lot of emails this week, didn't you, Pete?
Mm. I have got a lot of emails this week. Yeah, do you want to check out this one from... you forward this sort on to me. Yeah, Michael Park. Hi, Luke. I appreciate I'm slightly behind on this, so just consider it an FYI rather than a contribution for the show. My friend Peter was born in Finland, but grew up in Papua New Guinea.
He's included the picture.
With his missionary parents.
Ah,
meaning that only, we will only accept DNA samples that we can test.
Yeah.
Meaning
that's
that
what
only,
you say to all the boys.
Meaning test. Meaning that only does he qualify to be a citizen of Papua New Guinea, Finland and the UK. He speaks fluent Finnish and a passable Hirimotu as well, which are two of the most absurdly difficult languages I've ever come across. Here's a photo of him standing next to his first car, which he had to lock with a padlock.
There's nothing new under the sun, I'm telling you.
Don't look at the rest of my
it's
camera.
Done.
Pete, I've got a couple really quickly here on the correspondence section.
Cool.
Sean got in touch saying, Jimmy Traore was on Twitter this weekend giving out about Liverpool's defence. You know things have gone wrong when that's happening. I looked up Jimmy's tweet and he says, no way you can win trophy with that defence. Come on, Liverpool, wake up.
Come on, Liverpool.
And Ben Bennett got in touch with another ramble thing. Great name. We were talking about saying that he saw that Paul Potts was performing on the pitch at halftime of the Korean League game between Suwon and Ulsan.
Wow.
More confusing than a Garth Crooks team of the week, he says.
That is.
Very surprising.
Having Paul Potts in that part of the world.
I mean, is he out there performing?
As our Korean correspondent, Pete, what do you think about that?
What do you mean, Paul Potts?
Being, were you listening to that?
I was trying to find another email.
You sound like you're trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Natalie.
Paul Potts was performing at a Korean League game at the halftime.
Nice. What's he doing out there?
Don't know. We just asked that question.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Well, you might say he's a soul man, so up yours. Natalie Harris.
He isn't, though, is he?
Natalie Harris has come in with a quick one. Frank Sinclair. According to Dennis Wise, an old Chelsea programme was not the sharpest tool in the shed, as we've already used this afternoon. Apparently, he believed that, like the heart, the human brain was on the left side of the body. In training, he used to take penalties to the goalkeeper's right-hand side because he believed it took brain signals longer to get there.
That's magnificent.
Thank you, Natalie.
That is excellent.
That is brain signals.
I'll finish off with this one from Ross Bernard. Says, I found out this weekend that former AC Milan fullback Kaka Kaladze has become the mayor of Tbilisi.
Yeah.
Having previously had the post of Minister for Energy and Deputy Prime Minister of Georgia. Naturally, he'll do most of his work on the left, defend this position, tackle key issues, and be something of a utility player in that he will literally be dealing with utilities.
Lovely.
Wonderful.
Surely Minister of Defence.
Yeah.
That's where he's going. I love an ex-footballer doing a weird thing. Yeah. Like Ian Desailly being a homicide detective in the Netherlands. Yeah, I just love that. Can't get enough
of George
it.
Weah, did he get sworn in?
No, I think he's one step closer to becoming the Premier of the country, but he's not there yet.
Yeah. But he's been involved in politics for a
long time. Yeah, he has, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. Antonio Conte is not involved in politics at the moment, but he was handed a lifeline by some poor Watford finishing and Michy Batshuayi.
Yeah, it was. Watford started very, very well, didn't they? I mean, just in generally in the first half, I mean, the Pedro goal was a fantastic goal, but it shouldn't have been a corner. I was a bit unlucky with that. But the great thing about Watford is they won't be cowed, will they? They did not let their heads drop.
They're brilliant.
They are brilliant. They just take the game to everyone they play. And I mean, Chelsea did very well at sort of restricting them to shots like from mostly outside the area to start with. But that Decore goal, the banana on that.
Chelsea, that was a great goal. Chelsea did did very well at coming up against Richarlison on the day when he just couldn't score. Mm. I mean, he would have scored two or three otherwise.
Give him his full title, local BBC radio journalist Richarlison.
It was like it's like someone had changed the settings on his like PlayStation controller. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He was just pressing the wrong button.
It was such a shame because Watford, if he'd have put that third one in, then you really thought to yourself they'll be out of sight here. Mm. I mean, it's all very well said, and obviously that's not the way it went. And Marco Silva said it was an unfair result. He was really dejected, and that is how far they've come. Watford going away to the Champions Chelsea and thinking we should have won that. Not, oh, we were unlucky not to get a point, should have won that. But it was an important win for Chelsea because had they have lost that, they would have dropped down to about 8th, I think, on 13 points, and they'd have been 12 behind Man City. Yeah. Now, of course, they didn't. They're up there again and they're on 16 points, which is not a great tally. They'd prefer more, but still better than 13. But you saw the relief with Conte when Azpilicueta scored. Conte dived straight into the crowd.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows that Silva's a great coach, and I think Conte knew this is going to be a really tough one for them, and they got out of jail there. And when I saw most of that game, until obviously it transpired the way it transpired, to me, and I tweeted it at the time, Watford looked like a top six team.
They
look so good. They're so confident. They knock the ball around nicely. They all know their jobs. And they've got four or five games coming up before they play United at the end of November, which are winnable games. And even you would even say at this point, Watford playing Man United at home, it's a winnable game for Watford. That
it is.
So they've got a lot. They've got a lot to be excited about. Watford fans.
They really could they be kingmakers? Beating some of the big teams. You know,
I could be. Could well be. Yeah.
You said the top six, like Newcastle, were sixth until they knocked them out. Watford knocked them out to seventh. Annoying. Yeah.
It is.
Just give us one weekend.
You don't dish it out in October, though, Pete.
No, it's true.
As Newcastle fans would do well to remember.
No. I like the idea of getting knocked out of a league position.
Yeah. Ow! Stop us jostling.
Also, Garth Crooks legitimately said, I know this is a lot of stuff, but he legitimately said that when he was asked how far Rafa Benitez can take Newcastle this season, he said the league title. He did say that.
He must have become self-aware. Like...
Oi.
Microdyne systems.
Is it aware they're not in the championship still?
11 points off City at the moment.
They are.
They can turn it around.
Yeah, exactly.
Striking distance.
Is he microdosing?
I think. It would explain a lot.
Is Garth Crooks microdosing? I mean, that has got to be a short title at some point down the line.
We all are.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So, Garth's confident.
Yeah, I'll give him a fair play. Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah.
How do you think? League title. You haven't even thought about that
the presenter should have gone, I'm going to give you another go at that.
Yeah.
And he still would have gone, yeah, title.
Yeah. But then he'll get
mathematically,
angry.
He's title.
Asking me another question.
In his mind, he'd be like, they've definitely got a good record at closing it out when they get to the top of the league title. Yeah. So they could do it again.
Well, Leicester won it. Oh, God.
Yeah, fine.
They did.
Never mind.
So anyway, Newcastle have only got 11-point deficit to make up on Man City, who are playing quite well.
Yeah, and
Watford's got less.
As we know, when someone has an 11 or 12-point lead at the top of the league, that it never gets over.
Easily gets
done by
around.
Them. Done. Exactly. Oh, dear. But if Chelsea had lost against Watford to go back there, Conte's job could have well been under, well, if it isn't already under a lot of scrutiny as well. Although Conte's not worried about this, he said, I am not like previous Chelsea managers. I am different. It is important to understand this.
Yeah.
Is it in that he keeps talking about how he's not going to do the job for very long and wants to go back to Italy?
Yeah, I think basically when Abramovich says, I think I'm going to sack him, there's probably a clause in his contract that there may be a payout. And Conte just keeps saying, I may go back. And Abramovich is thinking, well, he may just leave anytime soon, so that'll save me a few quid. And they live in the tension, and it's...
I'm enjoying austerity, Chelsea, at the moment. They're only spending 40 million a window.
Doing less with more. Sorry, more with less.
That's right, yeah. But Watford, they're still six, really could do something this season. They're on for their best Premier League season ever.
Yeah, but I think I'd go as far as to say, they need a bit of luck, of course, and they are conceding quite a few goals. A lot of that's to do with that Man City thumping they got.
But
need a bit of luck, but there's every chance.
Yeah.
I mean, all it takes is one of those top five or six teams to slip up.
Yeah.
And given that Everton already are doing that, it's hard to... I mean, you'd fancy Liverpool to probably go above them, and that'll leave them seventh, but you never know.
You never know.
It might seem a little bit churlish, given that they rallied very well and won the game 4-2, but would that performance in the first half be a bit of a worry for Chelsea, maybe? Because when Watford got on top, they stayed on top for a while, and you think against, against tougher opposition, maybe? Well, if that's not too disrespectful to Watford, they might get,
Chelsea have looked vulnerable. They've looked vulnerable at more than one stage this season. So
Don't be disrespectful to Silva, because that's Merson's back.
Fair enough. I loved something Silva said after the game, actually, when it was put to him, like, are you happy with the performance? He said something along the lines of, I'm never happy when we lose a game, but of course I understand the question. Yeah. And I just thought, Jose Mourinho would never do that.
I thought exactly the same thing, actually.
Kuma was quite bullish in his post-match as well. I don't want to talk about my job. And so it's just like,
whose job do you want to talk about? Wayne Rooney's? That'll do. Okay, let's talk about all your players' jobs then.
They weren't doing them.
Yeah. Who's in charge of that?
Under your stewardship.
Let's talk about the chairman. What does he think?
Let's talk about the owner's job and what decision they might have to make in the next 7 days. How do you feel about that?
Oh dear. Speaking of jobs, Slaven Bilic still has one at the time of recording. Apparently, according to reports, he's been given two games to save himself as West Ham boss. And then you look at the fixtures, and one of them's away to Spurs in the cup. And he's like,
are they going
to
give him a behind closed doors friendly?
Can I get a friendly against Forest?
Yeah.
Because that'll be lovely. Thank you very much.
I bet Bilic was texting Koeman going, cheers, mate.
Yeah.
Just that.
What do you want to talk about, Bill? I want to talk about Koeman's job.
I want to talk about the 2Ks, Klopp and Koeman.
How bad are West Ham? Did you see it? They were so bad. Yeah,
just Brighton, all over the place.
Brighton couldn't believe their luck.
No.
Like, I think if you're a newly promoted side and you go away to a huge club like West Ham, okay, they're not one of the best performing sides at the moment in the league. Still a huge club. Great tradition and all the rest of it. To win 3-0, it's a kind of a way trip. On a Friday night, you think to yourself, oh, we might never get a trip like that in the Premier League. What an evening out for them.
Well, quite. I remember going to see, I mentioned this fairly recently, I remember going to see Pompey get a comeback win against Crystal Palace at Sellers Park when I was a young man.
Oh, you mentioned this the other week.
Yeah, yeah. I stayed up. Stayed out.
Staying.
Yeah, just stayed out. Yeah.
And you never moved. And that's how you
remained
in London.
I've never seen Pompey win away ever again. but the most West Ham thing ever. And of course, I know. You know what I'm going to say.
I do.
And before I get something out there, I do want to say that I think West Ham are obviously a very historic club, and you know, they've done loads of stuff and whatever.
Why are you making that sign when you're doing it?
That you do really need to understand the most West Ham thing ever to happen. Is fighting in the corporate hospitality.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I love it. Because in my mind, that is a load of like local builders who've managed to be really successful.
Like, Stephen Bywater's dad, for example, who is exactly that.
Was it him?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
What's
the new stadium that's got like the see-through tunnel where you can see in?
City, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, okay. Just having someone's face smashed up against it as the team are walking
come
through.
Out, yeah. It's supposed to work the other way around. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, where's Roy Keane?
Oh, dear, yeah. But, I mean, they're in 16th on the same points as Swansea, Everton and Stoke West Ham.
You'd have to... I've got no contacts at either club, but we've all watched football for quite a long time. I think it would be surprising if we were sat here this time next week.
Yeah.
And Bilic and Koeman are both still in their job.
Yeah. Well, Bilic said, didn't he, after the game, he's not worried but realistic, which means I've put my house up for sale.
You say you've got no contacts at the club, Luke, but some of your mates do regularly attend corporate hospitality.
They do, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
But Brighton were excellent, though, and to the point of it, the second half, the Brighton fans were giving it the ole every time they were passing it.
Well, why not? Enjoy yourself.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Izquierdo scored a great goal.
Brilliant one.
He was very impressive against Arsenal when they came to the Emirates.
Lovely one.
And he's had a good season from what I've seen of him so far. And Gross as well, put in a great delivery for the first
goal. He's a fantastic player. I think he's an absolute snip. He's gone under the radar. I don't expect him, with respect to Brighton, to be there an awful long time. He's fantastic. He can do a bit of everything. He's not very quick. Other than that, he's got everything in his locker.
It's lovely to see 34-year-old Glenn Murray among the Premier League goals.
Good player.
But, you know,
a proper forward.
That's going to happen with West Ham when they have the lowest, the lowest in the lead for distance covered and for sprint. And I know someone has to be bottom, but come on.
Like, you can see really... why. Watch that game. You can see that,
absolutely ridiculous. But yes, when he put the third in, Murray, with the penalty, the fans were up and they were walking out. I mean, en masse, and directing a lot of hostility towards
Friday night.
Yeah, well, they were all going up to corporate hospitality.
To be fair, it's Friday night and it's about 9:15. I'll be going to the pub.
Yeah. Well, what's the point? What is the bloody point? How am I going to crowbar this? There were angry scenes in Serie D as well.
Oh, everybody. Okay, right.
Hey, how about that?
Mr. Linkman.
It's not just West Ham where you get angry scenes. It's also in Italy. There's a side called
Turris. Where Parmaham comes from.
Where
was that? Parma ham?
Yeah. Where does it come from? Parma?
Parma, I presume.
Presumably,
I'd assume.
Yeah. Why have you brought that into the table?
I don't know. Just panicking. Trying to get in a European feel to this part of the podcast.
You're very glitchy today.
Why have you brought in actual Parma ham and put it on the table?
That's my hand.
That's what it's made of.
Not very well.
Some of you would have seen this, and thank you for those who tweeted it to me. Giovanni Leberti of Turris has received a lengthy ban after he, according to the Serie D disciplinary body, urinated in the direction of away supporters making obscene and vulgar gestures while showing his genital organ.
But their explanation of it, which I know you're going to come to, is there should be an award for this sort of thing. This is magnificent.
The club are going to appeal, as they believe he was... So bearing in mind, the accusation is pissing in the direction of supporters, right, while making obscene and vulgar gestures, and it's best to use their terminology, while showing his genital organ, all right? That's the accusation. They're suggesting that he was just drinking from a water fountain and adjusting his shirt, which was inside his shorts.
Oi, Marcus, Pete bought two organs once.
I don't even know how that would... I'm trying to think of the image in my head, but I don't know how they would have to draw pictures. How does that even work?
I don't know.
I'm drinking from a water fountain.
Have you ever seen someone drinking from a water fountain? Is he flashing the... Oh, no, he's just drinking from a water fountain.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love it. Absolutely no reason for it to be in there. No, no. There you go.
What are we talking about now, then? Yeah. Are we going back to the gentle organ?
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Right, let's go for a quick ad break.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Before we go to the Championship, mention of the Old Farm Derby, I want to just mention quickly the bet of the week.
Yes.
Brendan Doherty. He piled in because Stoke didn't win. He had Newcastle and Stoke both to win. So we'll be looking for a new man for our best bet with Bet365 on Thursday. All women, of course, so you get in touch. And also, one more final piece of order. Just before we got to the studio today, I noticed on my way up here that Harry Redknapp has chucked his hat into the ring for the Scotland job.
I'm all over this.
Well, he's put his hat in and then he's taken it back out again.
Start the car, Bondi.
Yeah. But once the hat's in, the hat's in.
Well, he said, well, it's a great job. I watch the Scotland games more than the England games.
Oh, yeah.
But I've no chance of getting it, really.
Yeah, and then he sort of talked up Joe Jordan for the job, didn't he? But his actual quotes were, "I must be truthful. I watched the Scotland games and not the England games because there was nothing on the England games. But his last two Scotland games, the win against Slovakia, the late goal, I kicked every ball that day."
Oh,
with those knees.
Yeah. And we got a great tweet from Daniel Killington who said, "I look forward to him naming 18 people in the 23-man squad. Hashtag down to the bare bones."
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring in a striker from Slovenia.
Send a message.
But at the moment, he plays for Slovenia.
Yeah. And I also don't talk about other countries' players. So. Yeah.
Wouldn't have to move as well. Could do it all from sandbags.
Yeah. That's true.
Take training over Skype.
Indeed. There we are, you see. There we are.
Well, look forward to see how that develops.
Indeed.
I'd love to see him at the job. I think he'd do a good job there.
I think he would, yeah. I think he would.
Harry Redknapp.
he was brilliant. He was brilliant at Birmingham. So.
He certainly was. Yeah.
I saw a couple of tweets as well saying that who's he going to sign? Who's he going to get in to play? Rabbi Keane.
Yeah.
Jermaine McFoe.
Yeah.
Class. Anyway, Old Farm Derby.
Indeed, yeah. To the Championship. Yeah, it was the Tractor Derby. Which ended... A tractor derby or Old Farm derby?
I like Old Farm, but I don't think it matters.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Norwich won 1-0. Ipswich haven't beaten Norwich since 2009.
They started the game very well, Ipswich.
They did. They should have got something out of it. It's so annoying if you're an Ipswich fan.
Yeah.
Or Mick McCarthy, just in general, I suppose. It was nice to see Angus Gunn in goal for Norwich. He's on loan at Norwich from Man City, I think.
There's a player from Man City on loan?
Yeah, who would have thought that?
What?
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah.
But it's Brian Gunn's son.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And
yeah.
Susan
son
Gunn.
Of Gunn. Son of a gun.
Susan Gunn, the artist as well. Give her a mention, Peter.
No.
Put your palm of hand away and give her a mention.
Get your gun out. But yeah, Angus Gunn, wonderful stuff. It was a good win for Norwich, though, no doubt. And they'll be on the mic. It'll be interesting to see what they'll do this season. Funny side, Norwich. I'm sort of looking at them, thinking, "Are you going to?"
Do you
fancy it? Do you not?
I think the son of a gun in that you mentioned. Presumably, the pressure's off because Schmeichel is pretty good. Because Kasper Schmeichel's so good.
Yeah.
And so the pressure's off. He can be absolutely dreadful. And no one will be like, well, not as good as your dad, are you?
Mm. That's true.
Yeah,
the pressure on him is in the art world.
Yeah. But the Championship's a good league at the moment because I think the top half of the table are in the playoff conversation as things stand.
Yeah, one win can change it all.
It can.
That's the thing in the Championship. It'd be like a side who are...
Especially for your beloved Fulham, Marcus.
Well...
They got beaten, at the weekend.
Mugged off by Aston Villa and John Terry. Yeah. And the Villa are on the march.
They're above Norwich now.
No, losing 2-1 to Villa, if anything, is a respectable score.
The winner did involve a sort of an air shot.
Yes,
that was an accidental dummy. So it's still slightly clownish, so that's great.
But they're up to fit. Steve Bruce announced after the match, "The winter is upon us and the marathon is starting."
Wow.
Strange.
I don't know if that was...
What a cool to action.
Starts off Game of Thrones and then goes all sort of, grandstand.
I think he was talking about Luke's Great South Run.
Yeah. What's the quote again?
"The winter is upon us and the marathon is starting."
Jeez, yeah, it felt like a marathon.
Although it feels like more autumn.
I'll tell you, another team who's doing quite well in the Championship at the moment is Sunderland. But every time I do the highlights of the week thing out on the Facebook, I just get a load of Sunderland fans going, "Oh, we didn't win again."
I do forget how many people listen to the Football Ramble who support Sunderland. I go, "What are you? Why?"
Yeah, they drew away
for you.
They drew away.
No, there's plenty for them.
Yeah,
but if you do stop listening, please do download
a dirty plastic Geordie and news from the Championship. That's all you get.
By the way, three draws in a row for Sunderland now. Which, if they carry on like this and draw every game for the rest of the season, they'll still get relegated. Yeah. So.
It's a platform to build on.
Yeah.
A platform that has a trapdoor in it.
And will collapse.
Yeah. Independently of the trapdoor.
Yeah.
Will Dick Advocaat go back there and save the day? Will he? Will he not?
No.
Again,
you
answers on a postcard.
No, he won't.
His name's not Willie, it's Dick.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. true. Sorry.
Willie Advocar. the worst Christmas drink. Grandma, Grandmama, come downstairs. There's some Willie Advocar on the side for you.
Mother.
Season's greetings.
I brought it in from the courtyard.
Do a great impression of people from Sunderland there.
Yeah,
don't you?
I know.
I think that's a fantastic championship round at that chap.
We've got to mention Hull City because they won away at Barnsley, which was Hull's first away win since August 2016.
Silver's legacy.
24 games they went, but the charismatic Leonard Slutsky was very pleased. Although Barnsley manager Paul Heckenbottom, what a name. He told reporters, I said to the players that I'm upset for them and I'm angry with them.
What, presumably because they've got Paul Heckingbottom as their manager? They're not doing very well either.
I'm upset because it's me and you've got to deal with me, but I'm angry because you lost the game. Yeah. But yeah, great win for Hull. An old Slutsky's a bit of a character, isn't he?
Oh, big time, yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's been a character for a little while now.
He certainly has.
He's almost post-character.
Yes.
It's like Klopp. We got to stop saying that he's adorable because he's got a job to do.
True, but I think people are well aware of Klopp.
The scathing assessment.
In this country, whereas I think old Slutsky's charisma is yet to fully come out.
Next Chelsea manager? Friends with Abramovich, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true. I think if Hull got promoted from the champion this season, which they won.
Oh, he's going to rap.
If they didn't, yeah, he's going to rap. And also, that's where we'll start to see him.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Come to his own.
Well, the rap will be the dead giveaway. The Slutsky rap.
He's quite a sort of well-decorated manager and stuff. For people who don't know, he's managed at some decent places, you know.
He has.
He's managed the national team, he's managed at CSKA Moscow and all sorts.
And he's one of the few managers who wanted to come to England and he's willing to, you know, start in the championship, which should be commended, I think.
A bit like Michael Appleton. Who took the Leicester assistant job when he was already managing the team because he thought, you never know.
Exactly.
But now you do know.
That's it.
There you can sort of assume, I think, can't you?
Bit of hard work and you can be in the hot seat.
Anyway, I want a hat-trick for going for Glold, so let's do it.
Let's go for going for Glold, everybody. When they're going for
Glold. It's time for going for Glold, people. What are we on to at the moment? What are we on to?
What do you mean?
What's the scores? I'm not sure, guys.
I'm on a hat trick though. That's all I know. I think Marcus and I are ahead. Is that fair, I think I'm on four.
I think I
might be on about three or four.
Jimmy, you move my laptop away because you can't help look at the screen.
I'd rather not need the reserve. It's distracting.
To be fair, Jimmy, he could have had a peek at your screen.
Don't look at the folder.
I'm with Pete. I think that was a double bluff.
Yeah. Oh, do you reckon? Yeah. You didn't want to touch your screen.
Pete doesn't think.
If I'm in your head, I'm in your head.
Anyway, I'll still take my chances.
To be honest, the person who emailed this and emailed it to the show at the Football Ramble.
Did they really?
Silly.
No,
silly Pasha Saberi.
Where
Thank
should
you.
They send them, Peter?
Thank
Jim
you.
At the...
Peter, Jim and then CC me in. No, yeah. Pete at thefootballramble.com.
That's where you send
get
them.
Involved,
no DMs on Twitter.
Thank you very much to everyone who got involved. Pasha Saberi.
Thanks, Pasha.
Thank you, Pasha. Brilliant stuff. Clue number one.
Oh.
I am one of the biggest celebrity stars in my country, so much so that my 2002 wedding was nationally televised
Stop.
In my country of birth.
Sasa Cercic.
No, not
Stop.
Sasa Cercic.
Norberto Solano.
No, not Norberto Solano. I think you're going to get this quite soon, actually. I started my career in Europe at Ghent, where I won the Belgium Ebony Shoe in 2000.
Ebony Shoe.
Ebony Shoe. Number three. After a loss, I came into the locker room and called my teammates miserable cunts. In response, my strike partner, Ibrahimovic, responded by saying, if anyone was the cunt, it was me.
Stop.
In response, I threw a pair of scissors at him, narrowly missing him.
Stop.
Oh, I've heard this story.
Emmanuel Adebayor?
Incorrect.
I've heard that story before. That's annoying me.
Nah. Mm. I won 51 caps for my country, scoring 20 times. Why has he got scissors in the locker room? I don't know.
Yeah.
In 2006, I missed out on playing in the final of the African Cup of Nations after calling my coach a donkey in the semi-final after getting substituted.
Stop.
Oh,
Eto'o.
I was going to say that.
Incorrect.
I was going to say something.
Number six, I scored 22 goals in English football.
Stop. Obafemi Martins.
Incorrect. I've been... He's got loads more than that.
Loads more, mate.
Yeah. I think he's gone 50 for Newcastle. I have been referred to as both the King of Cairo and the Young Pharaoh.
Oh, stop. Medo.
Marcus Speller.
Yes!
I returned in 2013, my last club to play before being Burnley, and I was rather rotund for a professional footballer near the end of my...
Well done, Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well done, mate. Yeah. Good one. That was good.
That was a good one, yeah.
Well done, Pasha.
Well done, Pash.
Pash, Pash.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff, yeah. Pete@thefootballramble.com. Yeah. That's where you send your going for gloves.
Well, at least you know none of us cheated.
Yeah,
none of us
good
saw
point,
it.
Good point.
Yeah, I did. I just played along.
Yeah. You're just playing the long game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. All right, there we are. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
Let's get out of here.
Lovely. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Of course, don't forget the preview show out on Friday morning. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
And on the concerts out every Wednesday. See you then.
Say goodbye, Peter.
I haven't got anything to plug. Bye.
Say goodbye, Palmer Ham.
Yeah.
Bye, Palmer Ham.
Put your organ away.
Hello, everyone. We are delighted to tell you that after we finished recording this particular episode of the Football Ramble, we emerged from our studio to find out that Mr. Ronald Koeman has been fired. Take it away, Marcus Speller.
And let's speculate, because he may well be Scotland manager by the end of the afternoon.
I mean, and by the time we finish recording this little addendum, let's assume Bilic has gone as well.
Yeah.
Should we do one for Bilic? Uh-huh. Let's do one for Rafa. Let's do one for Pochettino. Yeah. He's off to Real Madrid.
We should do one for every manager. Marcus, you're the Ronald Koeman correspondent, uh-huh. special correspondent.
Yeah.
More importantly, how is this going to affect his Twitter output?
I think that, it's going to be very sour. But now that Marco Silva's managing Barcelona and Koeman's taken over at Watford, then I think he'll be back on track.
And now that Arsene Wenger
Gareth
Southgate has swapped jobs, I mean, that creates absolutely no vacuum. Yeah. So
whatever happened, Wenger's still at Arsenal. Don't you worry
That's
about
very
that.
Very true. Very, very true. So, yeah, where's he going to go?
Koeman. I don't know, Algarve for a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah,
that's his first port of call. I'll tell you now, as I said on the main show that you might have just heard, you probably have if you listen to this, Erwin Koeman's now got a decision to make.
I'll tell you what, Louis van Gaal will be sitting on the porch. I've been sacked at Everton, have you?
I don't not fancy the job.
Harry,
get him in, bare bones.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills,
Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more. Then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.